and welcome to TGS's second quarter 2009 conference call. My name is Robert Hobbs, and I'm the CEO of TGS, and joining me in the conference call today is Arne Hellen, and he is our CFO. Earlier today, we posted our second quarter earnings release along with a webcast presentation of those results. I hope that you had the opportunity to review that webcast, and we now will just give a brief summary of the main points from the webcast before opening the call to your questions. Our net revenues were $124.1 million and were down 7% compared to the same period 1 year ago. Net late sales were $84.5 million. They were up 6% from late sales in the second quarter of 2009. Or I should say they were up 6% from the late sales in the second quarter of 2008. And an increase of 182% over late sales in the first quarter of this year, reflecting significantly more sales activity than seen earlier this year. Pre-funding revenues were $33.8 million, down 18% compared to a year ago, reflecting a slightly reduced investment during the quarter versus the same period 1 year ago. Pre-funding revenues covered 43% of our investments. 57% of our multi-client revenues came from projects in progress, and 20% of our revenue mix this quarter came from fully amortized surveys. The multi-client amortization rate was 39%, back within our expected range for the full year of 2009. Our resulting operating profit was $54.3 million, representing 44% of our net revenues, and we're down 18% compared to Q2 last year. Earnings per share were 39 cents per share versus 36 cents per share a year ago. Cash flow from operations after taxes but before investments was $44.5 million, and that was compared to $27.7 million 1 year ago the same period. Our current backlog is $125.6 million at the end of Q2. TGS remains in a very solid position in this market that can be characterized as uncertain at this point. The company continues to have flexibility to adjust our investment going forward with our business model, and we have very flexible vessel commitments going forward. TGS will continue to look for opportunities to increase its market share through prudent investment in attractive projects that are brought forward to us. Sales activity increased significantly over a very disappointing first quarter. However, the company's clients continue to be cautious in their E&P spending, driven by sharply reduced commodity prices compared to 1 year ago. Given this outlook, we are maintaining our expectations for the full year that we provided earlier in the year. And those expectations include multi-client investments of $230 to $270 million, average pre-funding in the range of 45 to 55% of investments, an average annualized multi-client amortization rate in the range of 35 to 40% of net revenues in the range of $470 to $530 million, and proprietary contract revenues in the range of 5 to 10% of our total net revenues. As announced in our Q1 earnings release, TGS has implemented a series of cost reduction measures in line with the company's current revenue outlook and expectations. We expect to see the impact of these reductions in the second half of this year. At this time, we'll open the call for your questions. Please press star 1 to pose your question.
First question is from Mr. Tor Averlander.
Hi, and congrats with the great results in the second quarter. I have one question to your revenue mix, and in particular your good sales from full amortized service. Could you say anything about the regions there and the approximately 10 to 15 million in sales related to the licensing round in Norway? Is that from older service or is that from work in progress?
It's a mix globally, worldwide, where we saw those late sales on the fully amortized projects. I think it could be characterized that we saw sales in both the Barents Sea and North Sea on older surveys, as well as the Gulf of Mexico, that made up that mix.
Thanks, and the kind of delayed phase from the or related to the licensing round, was that old data or new data?
No, that was uplift income related to 3D data that we acquired last year. It was revenue that was associated with oil companies that had licensed walks in the 20th round, in the Norwegian round. And when that was awarded in May, the awards kicked in an uplift revenue that was due on those sales.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Next, Mr. David Lewis in the company HSBC. Please go ahead.
Right. A couple of questions. Firstly, just to carry on one of the themes, I think, from the webcast this morning about your access to vessels in the medium term. I mean, clearly the market will change in the next couple of years, and we'll have to think about longer-term charters. I just wondered what the main sort of data points or events are that you look for that would likely make you think, okay, we need to look at locking in some more term contracts there. That's the first question. The second one, well, a general one, just, you know, could you talk a little bit about some of your frontier areas like Greenland and West Africa, sorry, East Africa that you've heard about in the last couple of years or so? Thank you.
Sure, David. You know, I think, you know, in times that we're in right now, we can be pretty optimistic about securing vessel capacity based upon the timing and location of projects that we're developing. You know, we only have, as we stated this morning in our webcast, we have two vessels that have been on charter for TGS and that will continue through the fourth quarter of this year. The other vessels that we have currently using right now are being used on a project-by-project sort of basis, or their charters their initial charters will be terminating in the third or early fourth quarter. So we go into a period, particularly with vessel availability increasing and vessel rates that we believe will continue to be lower for us, where we can be opportunistic, where we have the projects to develop and take advantage of possibly the locations of vessels to use for those projects and you know, favorable rates for those projects. Now, you know, TGS behaves much like an oil company does when we evaluate supply and demand in the seismic market, and when we see a point in the market where we believe that supply demand equation gets a little bit closer and the market will become tighter, then we would tend to take the approach of locking in some longer term vessel charters. I can't tell you when that's going to be. It's not certainly not near term, but we are going to be keeping our eyes open for it here, you know, later this year and going into 2010 to see where it might, you know, where we can predict that might happen. In regards to the comments regarding some of the frontier basins that we're excited about, you know, there's a tender round that's been announced in Greenland. TGS has a very solid footprint of multi-client data in Greenland because we've been there for several years now, acquiring both 2D data as well as potential fields data, aeromag and aerograph in the play. And offshore Greenland is an area that is, you know, very frontier. It's part of what you hear, you know, companies talk about when they want to enter into the Arctic plays. It's part of that whole play, and we're quite excited about the prospectivity and the footprint there. I mean, there are other basins that we're active in right now. West Africa, there are new plays that are being developed off of recent discoveries and the extension of those discoveries into new countries in West Africa, and we are quite proud of the footprint we've developed there, and we'll continue to focus on gathering data in this, you know, to chase these plays. We also are going to continue to look at expanding in the Asia-Pacific region. We've done a great job over the past couple of years of acquiring different data sites offshore Indonesia, part of our Indonesia, our Indo-Deep program. And in Q2, as you saw from the webcast, we continued that activity in West Sumatra and in Java. And we're optimistic that companies are going to continue to be looking for new prospects in those areas.
Okay, thanks a lot. Cheers.
Next one is again Suresh Form in Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead. James Suresh Form.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. James here from Merrill Lynch. Just two questions, quite boring questions, but just on your guidance for revenues between 470 and 530, can you please provide a bit more clarification on why you're confident that you achieve your guidance for the full year, given the revenues for the first half are $195 million? And then secondly, on depreciation, what's the reason for the expected decline in depreciation in the second half of the year? Thank you.
Okay, so if you look at our revenues for the first half year, and you look at our past performance over the earlier years, you will see that the normal revenue pattern for our company is that we have a stronger second half of the year than the first half of the year. So that's one indication that historically, which we also rely on, that we think that the market conditions are hopefully in a recovering mode now, and that we will also this second half of the year see a stronger part than in the first half. Typically, the fourth quarter is a late sale quarter, end of the year for the budget. It's the oil companies in the Gulf of Mexico preparing for the March round and all that. And when we then have late sales, large late sales in this region, and also in the other regions, that then comes from data that are either fully written down or has a lower book value and therefore a lower amortization rate than the new ongoing surveys. So that's why we believe that the amortization rate will come down, and that we still believe in the guided amortization rate of between 35% and 40% for the full year.
Right. Okay. Great. Thank you. And just one other question out of curiosity: how far in advance do all companies typically purchase the data prior to a lease sale?
It depends on the region. It depends on the type of play. I mean, when you have you know, typically, well, we have regular tender rounds, for example, in the Central Gulf of Mexico, and oil companies that are preparing for those tender rounds, which, and traditionally that Central Gulf of Mexico tender round occurs in March of every year, you know, typically you will see companies starting to prepare for that and doing most of their data purchases towards the end of the previous year, you know, so, you know, fourth quarter. Other parts of the of the world, you know, where tender rounds aren't as frequent, you might have a greater lead time, you know, and where companies are will want more time evaluating acreage and might buy the data a little bit earlier.
Okay, great. Just one more quick one. Then, so for the Western lease sale in August in the Gulf of Mexico, companies acquiring data for that lease sale would have boosted data early second quarter. Then, would they?
Yeah, you know, the August lease sale, typically not a really big lease sale for TGS. Most of our multi-client assets are in the Central Gulf of Mexico area. But you are correct. I mean, the time that your timing statement is. You know, they'd be looking at buying data in the first and second quarter.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Next, Mr. Christopher Miller-Lucken, Arctic Securities.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. With regards to the multi-client investments in 2010, you indicated earlier today that there's no reason why they should be lower next year than they are this year. However, when it comes to the prices you obtain for chartering in capacity, I would assume that, you know, they would be lower next year than they were this year, meaning, you know, you get more square kilometer per dollar amount spent on multi-client investment next year than you have this year. So will your activity level actually increase if you maintain your spending level in terms of dollar amount spent next year?
Yeah, you know, obviously, if we, you know, rates go down, you know, for our vessel capacity, we require more data for the same amount of money spent, right?
Mm.
You know, in preparing for, you know, 2010, we're starting that process just now. We typically start our budgeting process, you know, early in the third quarter. And so we have our business units now are bringing to us their project ideas that they expect to, or that they want to take forward in 2010. And we have a very much of a bottom-up sort of budgeting process at TGS where we're going to structure our investment profile for 2010 based upon the quality of those projects. So it's really kind of early to make a call right now where we're going to be in 2010. I think, you know, if you check with us in a couple of months, and, you know, we'll be further into the process of looking at, you know, what are the projects looking like for 2010. And but your underlying theory is correct. Is vessel rates, capacity rates go down, we can acquire more data. So you might say that, you know, our activity level would increase, and we would end up spending the same amount of money. So, but it's just too early to tell what 2010 is going to look like.
But given your competitors, you know, the largest roughly spending $300 million this year on multi-client investments, which, you know, you couldn't exclude that it would go down for your competitor next year, and you actually maintain in your level of, you know, 250 to 270, you could easily end up being the largest investor in new multi-client seismic next year.
You know, I don't know what, they haven't come out to talk about what their outlook is, I don't believe, or many of them in 2010. So it's tough for me to make a call on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Next, Mr. G. Hinurani in the company Andert and Port.
Mr. J. With Standard & Poor's, London. Just a couple questions real quick. Just to confirm, I think there's maybe a typo in the press release. It is 5 to 10% for the proprietary contract, not 10 to 15, right?
5 to 10% is what our outlook is for 2009.
Okay. And then I just wanted to follow up on a question actually this morning. Reason for seeing increased number of joint ventures and so on. And related charter rates. Is it possible that you might even get a better rate through the joint venture partners than you would, you know, going outside, kind of doing it on your own? Is there more greater efficiency? Is that why we're seeing more of these now?
Well, you know, if we JV with a company, they have a stake in the project,
right.
And so they're part of the investments also in their multi-client business. So they're putting in their cost to the project, as is we're putting in our cost to do our portion of the project. If we go out and we charter a vessel from somebody to do the project 100% TGS, one might assume that, you know, the vessel provider is going to be looking for some profit in that. And
right.
That might be an accurate conclusion. You know,
that's what I figured. I just, you know, didn't hear that point. Real quick, also on the cost reduction that you said you already implemented that in Q2.
We did it. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure if I know exactly what that is and what the savings implications are. Could you perhaps go over that again?
We looked, as an executive team, we got together and looked at really a broad range of our business and looked at a number of ways we could reduce costs, things like try to reduce the amount of travel that we do, if possible. We are being more, probably more prudent in the number of conferences that we go to and we show in. We did have a small reduction in force that we took in April, but we expect to see the fruits of that throughout the rest of the year.
But there's not a number you can provide.
I don't have a number I can give you.
Okay, and then. And then lastly, getting back to the guidance and the guidance achievement, you're talking about visibility still not being that great, although much better than Q1. We're looking at, obviously upliftment from the Norwegian rounds and so on. What else do you see then, coming down the pike that kind of gives you a little bit more confidence?
Well, I think that as oil companies, I think what we've seen this year is we're seeing oil companies get a little bit more comfortable with where they might be in their own cycle. I think we saw at the end of, we saw an increase in oil price from the beginning of the year, and I think coming out of Q1, we saw oil companies a little bit more certain as to where they wanted to be in their budgeting process or their how they allocated their investments from an E&P standpoint. I think that they were a little bit late in 2009 and actually coming out and telling their business units of where they should be in their spending. For things like seismic data. So I think what we've seen is we're probably, seeing more confidence with where commodity pricing might be going forward, as evidenced by the greater sales activity that we've seen in Q2. It's hard for us to predict, as it always is, on a quarter-by-quarter basis, what our sales are going to be. We really kind of only guide on the year. I think that's even a bit harder now when oil companies continue to be a little bit more cautious in how they spend their E&P dollars.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Next, Mr. Tour on the Dead Limber, DSB North.
Yeah, hi again. One more question on your survey, your freedom/liberty survey with S&P. If I remember right, you have extended it twice so far. Is it a potential to increase it substantially compared to what you have planned now? And one more question on investments. Are you likely to invest more in the third quarter than in the second quarter?
I'll answer the second part of the question first. In terms of the investments, I would expect, the third quarter of investments to be more or less in line with probably what you see that we've done in the second quarter. I don't expect it to drop off or increase substantially in the third quarter. The first part of your question on the wide azimuth, the first extension was only a pretty small extension of 700 square kilometers on the 14,000 square kilometer project, and it was related to some pretty juicy client commitments and the client wanting to extend it a bit. Liberty is an extension. We're calling it a separate project. It's similar though, where we've been acquiring Freedom, the original project. We've been doing our homework. We've been talking to a lot of companies. They've been pushing us into that direction as well, with their pre-funding commitments. And that spurred us and Western GECO to take on that project. We constantly look for opportunities to participate in more wide azimuths, and I can't tell you what we're going to be doing going forward. It's difficult to tell. We haven't sanctioned anything more than what we've already announced, but we're always looking for new project opportunities.
Okay, thanks.
Star T1, if further questions.
Okay.
No further questions.
Okay. I appreciate everybody being on the call. Thank you for your questions, and thank you for your interest. Goodbye.